Blog Talk Radio.
Eva.
Hey, this is Carla B, and you are listening to eBuzz. Welcome back, everyone. This is your girl, Carla B, and I am back here once again on EOTM Radio, where we are always striving to encourage, empower, and, of course, we want to enlighten your mind. And speaking of enlightening, if you are ever needing some, just so you know, you can always find it when you visit www.eotmradio.com. Tonight's show, y'all, will be all about authors' reviews. Tonight we're featuring author MC Marcus Chapman. He's going to be with us to discuss his explosive new tell-all book titled Sex, Time, and Radio, The Raw and Uncut Story of an On-Air Personality and the Decline of the Radio Industry. And that's big, y'all. I just wrote a blog on the decline of the radio industry, so that's really funny. But at this time, definitely, I would like to welcome author N.C. Marcus. Welcome to EOTM Radio.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everybody around the world. How you doing?
Yes, sir, because we are global. So it's
yeah.
We touch a little bit of everything, which is such a great, great thing. Before we even get into that title in your book, I want you to go ahead and enlighten our global listeners that may have never heard of Marcus Chapman.
Okay, no problem. Well, I'm a veteran of the radio industry. I'm a music historian, born and raised in Chicago, and worked in radio in college as well as in Chicago at a radio station called WGCI, and Indianapolis at a radio station called WTLC, and Dallas at KKDA-FM. Matter of fact, if you ever heard of a guy by the name of Tom Joyner,
yes, he got his
nickname the Fly Jock by working at those same stations in Chicago and Dallas. So I'm from that same, you know, fabric. And
okay.
Also been heard in Atlanta and came very close to working in several other cities, including Los Angeles, D.C., Miami, North Carolina, and Philly. And when I say come close, I mean, like, there were some serious discussions about me working in these cities and maybe something happened at the last minute. They couldn't make
right.
the deal and they ended up having to go cheaper or what have you. You know, so I'm pretty much global as well as you all are.
Okay, and that's what's up. That's very, you know, you've done a whole bunch and seems that you are still working it out, definitely, with your new book and all the other great things that you're doing. So I want to say before I even go any further, kudos to you, congratulations for all of your successes thus far.
Oh, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to get down and dirty. Let's get into this book. Tell us, you know, what was your reasoning for it? What made you want to decide to write a tell-all book about the industry?
Well, the original idea was actually a movie script, and I think I came up with the idea somewhere around 2002, and it was just based on the experiences I had, say, between about 95 and 2001. I mean, there were so many wild events and stories I had and experiences that I had that were so cinematic and dramatic and very different from what I expected going into radio, and also very different from what a lot of people seem to believe happens in radio. I mean, I had so many people ask me questions on what it was like to actually be an air personality, and also had so many assumptions made, people trying to tell me what it was like, and they were totally off. So it's like, wow, this industry, even though people turn on the radio and they listen to it, they have no idea what goes on behind the scenes, whether it's in the studio or just in the offices or throughout the whole lifestyle. Because working in radio, you know, it's one thing to just do shows on the air. But when you start hosting events at clubs and making appearances here and there, and then you're dealing with the different aspects of it, particularly when you're working outside of your hometown, you know, there are a lot of things that you can't do that you kind of take for granted when you're working at home. You know, when you're off work, you can't go hang out with your friends that you grew up with. You can't go see your family when you want to all the time, and people only know you from the radio. So it creates a totally different vibe. And on top of that, being a young, you know, not so bad-looking guy in the business, I was able to meet a lot of very attractive, beautiful, intelligent women, and the experiences that I had with them were so, you know, mind-blowing. In some cases, they were hilarious. They were, you know, just outrageous stuff going on. But also very human interaction that people don't expect. I mean, a lot of times people think because a guy is on the radio, he's going to automatically have all these women throwing themselves at him, and that's not really how it works. I mean, from what I saw, just because you're on the radio doesn't mean you're going to get any action from females, because it can go up and down based on who you are, your communication skills, what station you're working at, how they feel about the station, and just so many various factors. And I documented those experiences. I remembered them because, I mean, I have a great memory, and I had so many memorable people cross my paths and crazy things happen. So I documented them, and I wanted to get them out there, and that's why I wrote the book.
All right, that's what's up. It seems, you know, very exciting to be able to, you know, read some of your, you know, your different things that you've done. Definitely seems to be a page turner. I want to know your first start in the radio industry. How did that come about?
Well, that started in college. You know, most people work in professional radio. You're not just going to get a job in radio just out of the blue. You got to kind of get your feet wet in college. And that whole thing started just because I was running out of gen ed classes to take and had to pick a major. So once I came across this book that said, you know, it had various careers, and when it got to radio, it said that you had to be willing to move to different places, because a lot of times folks don't work in the city that they're from, and I hadn't really been to many places at that point, so I was okay with that. And you also have to have an upbeat personality and like to communicate, and it combined two things that I always enjoy, which were music and talking on the phone. So once I saw that, not only did I feel like it was something I could do, I felt like it was something that I could be the best to do it. And I kind of had that attitude from the very beginning. And one of the interesting things that comes up in the book is, yeah, I talk about the college radio experience, but once I got into the pros, well, actually once I interned and just got the chance to see what it was like inside a professional station, then I had to work my way into it. I noticed that there was a big difference between what I thought it was about and what it was really about. Most people assume that it's about music because radio stations play music. But when you're a person on the air, you're not going to be hired based upon your knowledge of music and what kind of music you like and all of that. No, it's about being able to communicate with the listeners, you know, coming up with ways to get folks to call in and participate so that you're entertaining the listeners and informing them in between those songs that they like. So it'll just open up a whole new area of thought. And once I flipped it, instead of being discouraged that I wasn't going to pick the music and all of that kind of stuff, I looked at it and said, okay, well, here's an opportunity for me to show who I am, vibe with people and get to know them and see how they feel and kind of be a voice for the community in certain points and to just have a good time with folks, too. So all of that came into play, and that's what pushed me into the industry and pushed me to go as far in it as I could. Until I found out that sometimes even when you're great, you don't always get the opportunities that you deserve. And that's what's brought it to.
Okay. So are you retired from the radio industry?
Well, let's see. How would I put that? Right now, it's all about Sex Time and Radio, the book. I'm enjoying what I'm doing with you right now. I've been doing this and being able to tell people about it and get people to read. That's my main focus right now, getting more readers and having the chance to share the experience with folks. I mean, I did it for so long. You know, if I do it again, great. You know, if I don't, I'm not necessarily concerned because I'm pushing for bigger things right now. I mean, I'm trying to get the book wider distribution and then eventually get it turned into a movie since that was the idea in the first place.
Right, right. And that definitely looks like that is where it's going. I want to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. You guys hold tight. Everybody, this is Carla B, and this is Author Reviews on EOTM Radio. I have the pleasure of chatting with MC Chapman, talking about his brand new book, the explosive tell-all book, Sex, Times, and Radio, the raw, uncut story of an on-air personality and the decline of the radio industry. Welcome back, Marcus.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, no problem. I want to talk a little bit about, well, before we even get into talking about the decline of the radio industry, tell our listeners out there, give them some information about you and where they can, you know, read a synopsis of your book.
Oh, well, actually, the synopsis is in the same place where you can buy it, so it's real convenient.
Just go to Amazon.com.
Yeah, just go on Amazon, and you can either type in Marcus Chapman or type in Sex, Time, and Radio, the title of the book. Matter of fact, even before you finish typing it, it's going to come up. So you can just click it, and you can read the synopsis right there, and then you can purchase it either on paperback or on ebook. You know, a lot of people are reading ebooks right now, so you can either get yourself an Amazon Kindle or you can download their free Kindle app they have, and you can read it on your BlackBerry, your Droid, your iPhone, your iPad, or even on your PC or your Mac, just like that, and that's even cheaper.
Wow. What's up? Thanks for that information. So let's talk a little bit about the other part of your book where you discuss the decline of the radio industry. Care to elaborate a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, the book is broken down into five parts. And throughout, you see, in the beginning, I kind of go into, it's called Blueprint of a Radio Star, where I go into what kind of makes a person even want to go in that direction. Then the second part is called Rebel Music of a Sex Machine, which kind of separates the men from the boys, as I call it, in terms of the attitude of a person who's on the air. Some people are just happy being in radio. Other people really want to go all out, be the best they can be, and have a stronger impact. And you kind of get the breakdown of how I became one of those type of people in that part. Part three is the cult of personality, which is when I first got into professional radio in the late 90s, you know, it was a very vibrant industry. It was a lot of fun. I mean, you had your drama here and there with different folks going on. But for the most part, it was a very healthy industry, and most people who were in it were happy and were getting opportunities to do things that were just great. Part four is Road Warrior on the Industry Map. That documents what it's like, what I talked about earlier, when you're working in radio but you're away from home. And that takes place around between 99 and 2002, and you see the various changes that go on and the experiences of working at different stations, how to even go about getting jobs, like I was talking about being considered in different cities, all of that's in there, and the experiences that go along with that. Then you get to part five. Part five is called Communication Breakdown. And that's the part where you really, really find out how we got from being in a situation where most people in most cities thought radio was a really big deal to where now you have a lot of cities where people are just like, man, whatever, I ain't even concerned with that no more. I'm listening to internet shows. I'm listening to satellite. I'm listening to my CDs. Where how did we even get to that point? Well, I go into detail. You know, from firsthand experiences, meetings that I attended, things I overheard from executives, documentation. You know, this isn't just based on my experiences, so I couldn't just go by my own memory. I also did research online with different articles that were written, industry trade magazines, reports that were given over the years about different things the companies were doing. And one of the biggest things that I document is a bill that passed around 96, but the impact wasn't felt starting until about 2000, where companies were able to buy a whole lot more than what they were doing before. Like, you could own so many properties within a certain city. So that whole kind of consolidation, takeover, corporate takeover thing had a huge impact on the industry. Because it changes the competition. You know, if you own a radio station and I own one and we're competing for the same audience, we got to do the best we can to beat each other to get that audience and to get that money and to get those listeners.
Right.
But if somebody else comes along and they buy both of us out, you know, they don't necessarily have to do that. And they may own several other stations in that market or own the same type of stations in other cities around the country. You know, if you own so much stuff, not only can you dictate what goes on in one city, you can pretty much have your say-so around the country in a certain way. And that became unhealthy for the industry, not just for the on-air personalities, but for the salespeople, for the listeners, because you had an influx of commercials that really didn't need to be there in a lot of cases.
Right.
It changed relationships with artists in a lot of cases. So, I mean, and you get to find out from a firsthand basis. You know, there's no hearsay, no rumors, no gossip in this. Look, this is straight up facts, okay?
Right.
So you're getting it from inside sources, and you get to see what it was like to work in the industry and have the whole approach change, not just from the standpoint of who was owning it, but the attitude that took place. You know, hip-hop is a perfect example. I mean, I grew up with hip-hop, and I'm sure most of your listeners did as well. Well, the whole perception of who and what is hip-hop from the standpoint of the people on the radio kind of changed at a certain point, because a lot of people who are not really a part of the culture think that you have to, you know, talk a whole lot of slang and you got to act like you just super street and a thug and all this stuff.
Right, right.
Hip-hop, and to relate to the listeners or for them to relate to you, which isn't true. But when that mentality came in, you had a lot of radio stations kind of going in that direction. And the funny thing is, hip-hop, because I worked in retail for a lot of years, too, as documented in the book. So I knew what it was like to work at the radio station and then also see what people were actually buying. And a lot of guys have, you know, hip-hop has always been geared more so towards guys than females. Like, if
right.
you look back at the videos where you had all the scantily clad women and all this type of stuff, well, that wasn't done to appeal to other women. Of course, that was
right.
done to appeal to guys, because guys generally bought more CDs. Women tended to buy more singles than for
right.
them out. But radio is geared more towards women, because even though guys bought more hip-hop, women bought more things in general, and always
right.
have and always will, are bigger shoppers than guys. So
right.
most companies who do advertising, they want to appeal to radio stations. They're trying to get the attention of the female shopper. So if a station has strong female listenership, they're appealing to those advertisers. But
right.
if you're going so strong with hip-hop and you're trying to be thugged out and all this stuff, you're actually scaring away a lot of the women. And so that ended up messing up the industry to a certain degree, too, because they weren't even able to get the kind of money that they were getting before. And they're
right.
suffering from that even to this day. So all of
right.
that's documented in Sex Time already.
Wow. Definitely fascinating and making a lot of sense. I want to ask you this. I'm considering you are a traditional on-air personality. What are your own personal opinions? And I'm sure you probably document this in your book as well. But what are some of your personal opinions when it comes to all the new vanity radio stations, satellite radio, internet radio, all these new, quote-unquote, new media people? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it just gives more people a chance to have their voices heard. You know, I mean, everybody's not going to be able to land a job at a professional radio station, even if you have the background to do it, because these
right.
days the jobs are so scarce. And it's always been competitive, but nowadays, because companies aren't making as much money, a lot of times, even if a radio station wants to hire you, something may come up where they may get a hiring freeze, we can't hire anybody right now because the company isn't making the kind of money they want. So all of these other media outlets, I mean, it's just giving more people the chance to say what they want to say, or, you know, play whatever music they want to play.
Right.
You know, so I don't see a problem with it at all. It's just more opportunities for more people to do, you know, a little bit of radio.
Right, right. I want to definitely, we have about 7 minutes, so I definitely want to thank you again for, you know, coming on air and sharing with our listeners in regards to what you're doing. I do want you to share your personal information as well as your website, things of that sort. But I do want to ask you a question, and I actually was instant messaged by someone who is interning right now for a local radio station in Atlanta. What kind of advice would you be willing to lend to somebody that's just coming into the industry?
Ooh, well, oh, they picked a bad time. Well, the first advice I would say would be to read my book, because the whole lifestyle and the experience of what it's going to be like, it can be mind-blowing. So just to prepare and have any idea, not to say that they're going to deal with everything exactly like I did, But to just show the scope of what you could possibly be dealing with from the standpoint of being in the business and also even on a personal level, it's definitely a way for you to find that out firsthand. And then from there, I mean, you just have to hope for the best and try your best to, you know, go as far as you want to go.
Right. And some good, honest advice. What is, go ahead and show your website information again, where they can find your book, where they can purchase your book, as well as reading that synopsis.
Right. Well, the synopsis and the book and everything else is on, it's on Amazon.com. That's the first place you can go. You can get it on paperback. You can get it in the Kindle ebook form for your BlackBerry, your Joy, your iPhone, your iPad, all that good stuff. They got a free Kindle app you can download to read it like that. Also, my personal website, mcmarcuschapman.com or sextimeandradio.com. It's the same website. And you can, it has the links to get the book, but I also have links to audio from shows I did, various interviews I did with different celebrities, and you can download anything on there or just listen to it there. I have video footage you can check out from in the studio over the years, and, you know, pictures that didn't make it in the book because you can only put so many within a book.
Right.
More pictures you can check out. So, yeah, all of that's at my personal website as well. And right now I'm looking to, like I said, take the book bigger, get a bigger deal, and possibly re-release it where each particular part, each one of the five parts, would be its own book. So that could be happening sometime, hopefully in 2011, to give even more people a chance to get it at an affordable price.
Right. Well, thank you so much. And you guys heard it here on EOTM Author Reviews, the world-renowned author MC Marcus Chapman. Make sure you check out his book. And Marcus, I definitely want to let you know that anytime you want to stop by EOTM Radio to update our listeners with anything that you're doing, definitely, that's an invitation for you. You got that open invitation directly from me, Carla B. Thanks again, Marcus.
Well, thank you, Renee. Get the book, Sex Time and Radio. I mean, this is the Snoop Doggy Dog, Doggy Style, the Prince Purple Rain, the Dr. Dre planet of books. So you got to get it.
That's what's up. Thanks again, Marcus. Listeners, before you exit our radio page, make sure you subscribe to receive alerts to future shows. You are not going to want to miss anything. We have some, oh my God, so many great new shows launching in 2011. Make sure you're right back here in about 30 minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be back on air. Until next time, y'all. Peace out.